we present the news quiz with your chairman, Barry Took.
Hello and welcome once again to the news quiz. We start with a cutting from The Independent, read by Catriona Young.
We thought all the people who worked at Euro Disney were very nice, said Dan. They say bonjour to you whenever you go past. They don't do this at Alton Towers.
Well, thank you, Janet Stevenson of Thringstone, for sending us that. Now let's make the teams. Will you welcome first, on my right, Richard Ingrams and Francis Ween. And facing them, on my left, Alan Corran and Michael White. Before we start round one, here's a piece of news from the Telegraph.
The tribunal heard Mr. Tan deny that Mrs. Zhao's promotion from secretary to sales manager was as a result of their love affair. I put her through a series of on-the-job tests to see if she was suitable, he said. She passed with flying colours.
Thanks to all of you who sent us that one. Richard, your first question. Whose speaking part won rave reviews in the West End?
Anything to do with the Queen Mother, is it?
Well,
I think there's
a bonny lady. Let's put it
some story about her going to be dropped on Germany or something like that. But I think it may not be her. It may be another old dear in the person of Miss Betty Boop, the former... the former striptease artist, who was made into the Speaker of the House of Commons.
Yes, you're absolutely right. It's the election of Parliament's first woman Speaker since the office was established in 1258, just after Michael Foot took delivery of his new duffel coat. Following parliamentary custom, Madam Speaker made a spectacular show of reluctance and protest as fellow MPs dragged her from the benches, a tradition known to political historians as doing a Margaret. Francis, who launched a counter-attack in the High Street?
Could this be anything to do with banks?
It could be indeed.
Well, I think what it is that Lloyds Bank, which is losing a lot of money, has decided that the solution to its problems is to take over Midland Bank, which is losing even more money. And they're going to close down hundreds of branches and sack about 20,000 staff, and the customer will get a better service at the end of the day.
Very succinct. You're absolutely right. According to Lloyd's chairman, Sir Jeremy Morse, no relation, buying out one of their competitors would increase competition, presumably an idea he got from their new patent hole-in-the-argument machine. But at least we now know the answer to the problem of getting a loan from your bank manager. Just ask him for 3.7 billion quid to buy a barely profitable business so that you can close most of it down. Michael, who carried a lamp for the whistleblowers?
Ah, yes, it's going to come to me a minute. If you talk among yourselves, I do know, I do know about this one, whistleblowers. I do know this, I do know it. I do.
If you hark back to the lady with the lamp, do you think of the present incumbent?
Oh, heck yes. Nurses, and under the new Lloyds Bank-owned NHS, whistleblowers aren't allowed to go public on their complaints about the NHS anymore in Virginia. Bottomley, Florence Nightingale, Duno Jure, went to the nurses' conference and said, in so many words, get stuffed.
Brilliantly put. It was... this was the new Health Secretary, Virginia Bottomley, a sort of Edwina Curry without the tact.
Bottomley's middle names are Virginia Hilda Brunette Maxwell Bottomley.
Anyway, Virginia Bottomley told the Royal College of Nurses that it was okay for them to reveal sloppy NHS practices to the press just so long as they reported to their managers first and reported to the job centre afterwards. She expressed unease at gagging clauses in workers' contracts which prevented their speaking out, though it was more than her job was worth to say anymore. Alan, here's a piece of music for you. Your question is, Alan, who were given a laborious second chance to nominate for second place?
This is not a Labour Party.
Oh,
question.
Yes. Oh, yes, it is.
Oh, I was hoping it was Christine Kirby and the fish that ate her cat. But it might be if we had...
What? Hold on. Tell us about that.
No, I shan't. No, well, it's about Brian Gould, Ken Livingstone, Bernie Grant, Texas billionaire Steve Wyatt, and all those other people who are standing for leadership of the Labour Party. And it's all coming up to second and third and fourth ballots, and none of it is any interest at all. We need elections, though. I saw that. Do you see the 1922 committee is now up for grabs, and a great rows about who is.
Lloyds has put in a bid, I hear.
Absolutely right, Alan. This was the Labour Party who did what they always do at election time, very calmly and deliberately discuss the matter, and then all agree to go into a blind panic. Her Majesty's permanent opposition party rejected one balloting system that was quite unworkable, namely putting up some candidates and then making the one with the most votes leader, and instead went for the simple option of playing knockout whist on a Ludo board using tiddlywinks, but changing the rules every time anyone looked like understanding what the rules were. The democratic process was further enhanced by a new rule that says you're not allowed to win if your name's Ken or Bernie. The scores at the end of the first round are, as they always are on the news quiz, 4-4. Before we start round two, here's a report on a council debate from the Bournemouth Evening Echo.
The new benches along the seafront will not wear out so fast, said Councillor Jones, if people don't sit on them.
Anyway, thank you, Sheila Pittaker-Poole, for sending us that. Richard, your question again. Where has unification caused a division?
This may be a reference to Torbay.
But on the other hand, it may not. Or I could say it's simply nine.
It, in fact, I think it's a reference to the fatherland.
Yes.
We're threatened by the arrival of the Queen Mother. There has been a total collapse of everything under the sun. And, of course, we mustn't gloat about that. Anyway, I'm sure Her Majesty will put it all to rights.
I'm sure she will.
She is a German herself, after all.
She's the only one that isn't the Queen Mother.
She's a Scottish lady.
Yes, you're absolutely right, Richard. It's the sad economic events caused by the costs of German unification, which brought a tear to the eyes of many a British cabinet minister. They haven't had such a good laugh in years. As the mark crashed, Foreign Minister Genscher resigned and their first major strike in 18 years took hold, Norman Lamont blamed the Germans' three-day-old strike for holding us back from recovery. For the last 13 years. Francis, whose passport photos were no laughing matter?
Passport photos? I'm sure Richard will know the answer to this.
Desperate man looking at me.
Said.
It's been something to do with the Duchess Fergiana, I hope.
No.
There's disrespectful remarks
been made about
the Queen Mother.
It wouldn't be anything to do with Limeswold, would it?
It would be nothing to do with Limeswold cheese, or the Duchess of York, or anything that connects the two. It's to do with a couple of suspected spies arrested at Helsinki Airport with two British passports.
Oh, yes.
He says, yes, now he says, no, I don't. It was a couple of suspected spies arrested at Helsinki Airport with two British passports, $29,000 in cash and thick Russian accents. Igor and Natalia Lutskova claimed to be Londoners, but had never visited their local pub or cinema, as they don't get out much. Natalia's cover as a Sainsbury's manager was blown when she was spotted pushing a luggage trolley in a straight line. And reciting the correct prices of supermarket products. Under questioning, the pair revealed that they knew absolutely nothing whatsoever about the general election. But they must have been spying on Maury. Michael, will you listen to this?
I seen a UFO. Not the KGB, not the Space Patrol, not the CIA, it was a UFO, oh no. Oh, it was a UFO.
Well, that was UFO by Country Joe McDonald. Your question is, where did A Close Encounter take off after 8 months?
This is possibly about the sighting of a UFO at Heathrow Airport, an unidentified Fergie object. heading towards points east. I'm sure you're going to bring the Duchess into the quiz later in the show, but I can't wait. Is that roughly it?
It's a US black triangle.
A black triangle. That's
not unlike a piece of Limes World cheese. Should be black because it died this week.
It was a suspected dustbin bag.
What was the dustbin bag suspected of?
Suspected of flying past an aeroplane. Several hundred miles an hour.
Yes. Mm-hmm. A bonus.
The Sun had a very good report on this UFO scare, and which omitted one detail, which was that this thing was 18 inches wide, and therefore wasn't very likely to have little green creatures on it.
Well, that's true. You get your bonus for that. And this wasn't the only story that wasn't all that it seemed this week. A man was arrested wearing a Fergie mask near Prince Andrew.
Ah. That's my cutting up the spout.
That was my cutting up the spout.
It's all our cuttings up the spout.
It is. Well, I won't go on with the rest of it then. We'll save it for you later.
No, it's not. It was just a great cutting. He was arrested, this student, by Merseyside police, who said they said it in the Liverpool Echo. They said the mask was very realistic and might have frightened old ladies in the crowd. Wonderful thought.
It was the only seaside resort she didn't visit this week, Liverpool.
Alan, your question now. Whose farmyard behaviour proved to be the last resort?
I think this is about young farmers. Princess Anne, having shed an old farmer, turned up at a rally of 7,000 to see if she could find a new one. And they all threw lager at her.
That is really, yes. It's the annual...
It was at Butlins.
What?
I suddenly remembered it was at Butlins.
Yes, it is. Butlins.
Mine had 3,000 young farmers at Butlins. Isn't that a wonderful thought? And she actually went. I mean, these things arrive on their desk, you know. It says, go and talk to 3,000 young farmers at Butlins. People don't think they're worth the money. Good God.
Well, in this case, the Princess Royal could have got danger money, I think. It was all about the annual Young Farmers Conference at Butlins in Minehead, whose drunken binge resulted in the organisation being banned from the resort, turning their backs on a Miss Wet Turnip contest and an enthralling debate on dung. Hundreds of youthful agriculturalists ranging from 13 to 25, anyone with an IQ higher than that is automatically barred from membership, staggered aimlessly around the town in a state of senseless stupor. And that was before they got stuck into the booze. The highlight of the event came when two delegates offered their patron, Princess Anne, a can of lager, a faux pas they blamed on mistaking the Princess Royal for her Auntie Margaret. Scores at the end of this round, quite remarkable. No, they're not. But they're still tied at 7-all. Before we start round three, here's an item from the Mail on Sunday, sent to us by Mrs. L. Tomlin of Southampton.
Three flats near Tel Aviv were gutted yesterday while their Jewish tenants, not allowed to use the phone on the Sabbath, consulted a rabbi on whether to call the fire brigade.
Richard, your question again. Which old warrior stepped outside the letter of the law?
This must be Sir Arthur Harris. Sir Arthur Bomber Harris, who is the old warrior referred to. But on the other hand, it might well be a reference to the death of our greatest living cheese. Francis, you know the answer to this.
It's a lieutenant colonel.
It is.
Who framed, or rather got into trouble, another lieutenant colonel because one of them was trying to build a path or something past the other one's house, and Lieutenant Colonel A, as we have to call him on grounds of security, then fabricated a letter from Lieutenant Colonel B to the local authority saying, I withdraw my objection to this. And Lieutenant Colonel B then got in touch with the council and said, why haven't you taken up my objection? And they said, oh, we had a letter from you saying you didn't mind. And Lieutenant Colonel A, who was a magistrate, has now been convicted of forging letters from lieutenant colonels and has been fined and struck off the bench.
Brilliantly answered. Absolutely right. After being fined £500, Mr. Jenkin was refused permission to leave court by the back door, even when he wrote himself an official authorization signed by Lord Lane. Francis, having been brilliant, listen to this piece of music. bless the Prince of Wales, what else? And the question is, who hasn't been brought to book, Boyle?
This isn't a Neil Kinnock question.
It isn't a Neil Kinnock
question. For once. Question. And it's not Lyme's World? Richard knows the answer
to this.
It's
about a book.
Richard's going to help me out.
Book. No, I'm not. No, I was just going to say, if it was to do with Lyme's World, if Prince Charles might come into it.
I know,
usually these questions about cheeses have something in connection with
yes,
Prince
well,
Charles.
This has Wales in
we
it,
know,
but,
over here.
But Alan
we
knows
know,
the
know,
answer.
Know.
Tell us, Alan.
I rather like Lyme's World. It looks like a varicose leg, but tastes rather worse. I think this is about the Welsh who's who.
Yes.
It hasn't got anybody in it. I don't know if it's got the Prince of Wales in it or not, but it's got about, doesn't have Kinnock, it's got about three people and a couple of, Jones the Dairies, and that's it. Then a lot of stuff at the back for doing telephone messages.
It's the publication of VIP Wales, the Principality's answers to who's who, a veritable A to B of Welsh talent. Jones, the author, has included a special section devoted to influential Welshmen in British politics, the most recent entry being, of course, Lloyd George. Michael, your question now. What dangerous star could be a fruit and nutcracker?
Fruit and nutcracker?
Dangerous, I think, know. Being the operative word.
Dangerous.
We know this one, sir.
Take no notice of him. It's our turn.
No, I know. It isn't.
Isn't it our turn?
No, Russ Abbott was as close as
Russ
I could
Abbott?
Get.
Madam
no.
Speaker, could we?
No.
Yes.
Yes.
Well,
Richard.
Yes, yes.
It's a question. Will
I be in Panto again this year? Yes. Come along, puss. Miles to London. Well, stone me. What's this I see behind this tree? Why, it's a xylophone.
That was today in Parliament.
Tell us.
Oh, yes, Richard has whispered in my ear, because this is very much his generation, that this is about a question about Michael Jackson, the oldie entertainer. Who has been comparing himself to Tchaikovsky.
So right, Francis. Michael Jackson, the man of many faces, who claimed he was a messenger from God sent down to Earth to become another Tchaikovsky. That's once he's finished his one-man revival of the Black and White Minstrel Show. The Almighty's proclamation has neatly coincided with the release of the new album, Dangerous, for which Michael refuses to take the credit. As that goes to God, Jacko just gets to keep the royalties. Not only does Jacko think he's turning into a famous composer, but he thinks his pet monkey is Andrew Lloyd Webber. Alan, what maroon has been marooned?
This is about the new breed of lifeboatmen, who instead of hanging around in large gumboots and waiting for rockets to go off, are sitting in trendy little Cornish gaffs, cracking crab claws, carrying poser phones and bleepers and things. And in the event of a pirate ship landing off Polperro or wherever, someone phones them up and says, I'm a pirate, can you come and get us off this ship? And they all bleep, and they all run down to get into one of the smart little boats, little Porsche, and they fizz out into the water and pull them off. I think I put tums in all those things outside Lillian Skinner. Just they all end up with bleepers. I haven't got a bleeper. Send up a rocket when they need me at the BBC. Well, it's to do with all these rockets, which are called maroons. I've never known why, but they've been going off and crashing into cottages.
That's right, yes.
Whizzing round inside. Rather fun. I mean, is there a sort of maroon boat fund where lifeboatmen ring up and say, there's a maroon rushing around inside my cottage. And people in maroon boats come and get the lifeboatmen off. Probably be bleeper boats. Lifeboatman will send up rockets saying, my bleeper's not working. Someone from British Telecom will come around in a boat.
3 weeks later.
3 weeks later, yeah.
The errant missiles are to be replaced by modern electronic pagers, a move which has enraged traditionalists who claim that they're difficult to light and keep falling out of them. And keep falling out of the milk bottles. It's still at the end of the third round. Amazingly, they're still tied at 10-all. Before we start the final round, here's a cutting from the Berry Free Press, sent to us by a Mrs. M. Perry.
British Rail is holding an inquiry after red-hot piston fragments nearly a foot long ripped through the floor of a train and started a fire on Good Friday. British Rail spokesman Martin Watkins said the train was perfectly safe. It was just the engine caught fire and part of the engine dropped out.
Richard, have a listen to this.
Gone fishing. Babble, 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 babble. There's a sign upon your door.
Pops, don't blab it around, will you?
Gone fishing.
Keep it shady. I got me a big one staked out.
You ain't working anymore.
I don't have to work. I got me a piece of Gary.
Cows need milking in the barn.
I have the twins on that detail. They each take a side.
But you just don't give a darn.
Give them 4 bits of cow and hand lotion.
You just never seem to learn.
Man, you taught me.
You ain't got no ambition.
You're convincing.
Gone fishing.
The question is, what fisherman's tale bucked the trend?
Is this in Torbay,
this,
where
this in...
a fisherman caught an amazing cheese? No, I don't know anything about this.
Of course you do.
But it's, the Queen Mother doesn't come into it. I don't think she's a keen fisherman. It might be her. It might be the Queen Mother fishing.
Just the Queen Mother fishing.
No. It was close to Torbay.
And it wasn't a cheese he caught, but something more, even more amazing than that.
An amazing boot. Well, what could it be? It
took him ages to get from a cheese to a deer.
It was a deer, was it? Did you know this process?
An old deer being
Torbay. Richard thinks it's a deer.
Well,
it's a dear old thing himself.
Well, it's a Queen Mother, isn't it?
Yes, it did.
I knew she'd come into it in the end. I know you've been trying to keep her out, but she's crept in.
Alan will now answer the question.
Well, it's about a fisherman, or a lifeboatman, or someone. His pager went off and all the rockets rang, and he went out with his rod and line, and a deer was on the end of it. When he reeled it in.
More or less.
And he rowed ashore with this thing and took it to a wildlife park. Then he went home and decided he wanted to be photographed with his catch. And when they went round, it's a wonderful story, when he and his wife went round with a camera at the wildlife park, the deer had escaped again.
That's right. Absolutely right. It's all about fisherman Robert Dart, who caught a 2-year-old roebuck deer in his crab pots more than a mile out to sea off Dartmouth. On his safe return to dry land, Flipper the deer was placed in a leisure park from which he promptly escaped by chewing through a fence. He was last sighted in a seafront gift shop buying a rubber swimming hat and a snorkel. Francis, who said, me Tarzan, you pay?
Sorry, do you know about this?
No, but you're going to tell me.
Well... there's been a court case in America about this. The people who own Tarzan have complained that Tarzan's been taken in vain and compared to Michael Heseltine in Vanity Fair. And they said this was obscene. And they've been suing. That's right, isn't it?
Very nearly. By Jove, you get your points of that.
Yeah,
it's the heirs of Edgar Rice Burroughs, the creator of Tarzan, who've sued Vogue magazine for $1 million for featuring the Lord of the Apes in suggestive poses with Jane. The 14-page spread features Tarzan dressed, like a Congo Chippendale, in a tiny loincloth posing pouch, which has the kind of tight fit that could explain the origin of his distinctive gall. The Burroughs family felt the sexually charged portrayals were inconsistent with Tarzan's wholesome image, that of a well-muscled man who lives up a tree with a small boy and a monkey. Michael, what has been given a green light in the hen house?
I've been waiting all evening for the bride who insisted on eating baked beans at her wedding. Did you know about that one?
No.
Did you know about that one? She did, yes. She was called Sharon. She came from... from Newcastle under Limeswell. And, she insisted on eating baked beans. It was a tragedy, really. She'd only got married because she thought she was pregnant, but it was wind. It was her favourite food. But it isn't that, is it? It's about the tremendous gimmick of the desperate Irish farmer who's marketing green eggs.
Quite right.
At Sainsbury's.
Really?
Ones which have been at Tesco's for a year. Nobody's bought them. Now they're selling them at Sainsbury's twice the price. Jolly good idea.
This is all about the patriotic Irish hens which have been laying green eggs thanks to a special gene which controls pigmentation. The farmer ensures a high level of production by threatening the hens with a move to Scotland. The very thought of laying Stuart tartan sends them into a frenzy of emerald activity. So, jolly good and well done, Michael. And Alan now, what drove a failure to drink?
Oh, no, this is a heartbreaking story. It's a man called Metterson.
Right.
Famous as a pork pie. And this poor so-and-so has been trying to pass the driving test for 36 years. Never knew the secret. The secret was to go have a couple of stiff ones. Anyway, he finally passed his driving test. And he went to the pub for a drink. And he walked home, decided not to drive his car. And he walked up his drive and he saw the car there. And he thought, I can drive that. And he got in it. And 400 policemen arrived. And said, extremely tough, Mr. Patterson. And they took his license away. I mean, the ink wasn't dry on it, but they did him.
Currently serving a year's ban, the B-test failure has vowed never to jeopardise his licence again. He's changing his name to Kevin Maxwell. Poor devil. Yes. Before we reveal the final scores, let's see what cuttings the team's brought. Have you brought a cutting for us, Richard?
This is an unusual story from America. I'm not sure I believe it or not, but anyway, it appeared in the Telegraph. It says, a woman who is told under hypnosis that she was a beaver built a dam near her home, flooded several farms. Claire Belton of Seattle was put into a trance during a party at her home. She wandered away while I was working on another subject, said stage hypnotist Marty Wider. He says that because hypnotic trances usually wear off in a short time, he did not worry when he could not find Mrs. Belton. But police say that she built a dam using dirt, stones, and tree trunks and branches, which she chewed down herself. Mrs. Belton is now suing Wider on a variety of grounds, including public embarrassment.
Splendid. Francis.
This is from The Independent on Sunday. A Frenchman who applied to his local town hall for a copy of his birth certificate was told his request could not be met because he had died 3 years earlier. Monsieur Roger Véran said nothing would persuade the authorities that he had not died of alcohol poisoning and hypothermia in a field in the south of France in 1989.
Michael.
This is from The Sun on Thursday. It's about this disabled football team at Roehampton. This appears to be true. I say appears because it's a team of one-legged football players with plenty of pluck who play to win, they say in The Sun. And goalie Chris from Red Hill said, and I'm quoting here from The Sun, I emphasize, I've had my false hand specially enlarged so I can handle the ball. Most of the teams get treated for cuts and bruises at half-time, but we have our nuts tightened. I could go on, but my nerves failed me.
Leave it there, and let's move to Alan. What have you brought for us, Alan?
I've got one from the Eastbourne Herald.
Oh, that's nice.
It is believed that Eastbourne is the first English resort to set up a lost property office specifically for hats. Following last month's hearing of the Social Services Committee, when members were told of hundreds of examples of elderly residents and visitors whose hats had blown off on the promenade, but who were unable to catch up with them.
Well, thank you all. Let's look at the final scores, which, well, they came late, but they came strong, because Richard and Francis well earned 12, but Alan and Michael, this week's winners, with 15. Well played, gentlemen. Before we leave you here, hot off the press, is a report from the Press Complaints Commission.
The former manager of a public house complained about the use of a nude photograph of himself, which he claimed was stolen from his premises. But he withdrew his complaint after the editor explained that the photograph, together with a note saying, I drink anything, anywhere, anytime, was submitted as a postal entry for the newspaper's Beer Gut of the Year competition.
And with that, goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz were Richard Ingrams, Alan Corrin, Francis Wheen and Michael White. The chairman was Barry Took and the news was read by me, Katrina Young. The programme was written by Ian Pattinson and Robert Fraser-Steele and the producer was Colin Swash.
And don't forget that a double cassette of highlights from the news quiz is obtainable from all good record shops and BBC shops. It's now 5 to 1, and with today's weather forecast, here's John Ketley.
Good afternoon. There's a chilly northwesterly wind blowing over the country today, but over the holiday weekend, the wind will pull back into the southwest, helping to lift the temperature. There'll also be some rain, particularly for Scotland and Northern Ireland.